Good morning, everybody. Morning. Pull out your Bibles and something to take notes with. Open up your Bibles to John chapter 15. Anybody familiar with John chapter 15? It's a good chapter. We've talked about it quite a few times around church, and we're going to talk about it again because it's still in there. Amen. So encouraged. Last week, we started off the year getting unified around what we believe God is encouraging us to focus on as a people this year around this word kingdom fruit. And you just heard Jeff and Michelle talk about it. So encouraging. Holy smokes. Just be like them. And I should be too. Praise the Lord. So we want to spend this year focusing on kingdom fruit. God expects kingdom fruit from us, and God wants to produce kingdom fruit in us this year. So we want to set ourselves towards that. So after last week, you might be asking the question, as I would, and somebody immediately come up to me afterwards and ask the question, okay, that's great, so how do we do that? It sounds important, you know? It sounds important to produce kingdom fruit. How do we produce the kingdom fruit that God expects of us? So over these next 5 weeks, we're going to be talking about what we express as our five values at Antioch Indy. These aren't just our ideas, like churchy ideas for what people should do who go to Antioch. This doesn't make you like just, oh, here's what it means to be a good Antiocher, you know? These are what God outlines in the Bible and what the testimony of the church, the testimony over history of the people of God demonstrates are the elements of a lifestyle of a healthy believer and a healthy church. This is what the lifestyle looks like that produces kingdom fruit. And we want the kingdom fruit, right? So we want to live the lifestyle that produces kingdom fruit. God expects it of us. Like I said, he wants to produce it in us. And so he has outlined for us what that life looks like. Praise the Lord. Those five values, as we express them, are personal devotion, making disciples, life group, corporate gatherings, and life on mission. As we talk about these five values, as you hear about them, as I invite you into them, as we talk about what the Bible has to say about these things, it's good to know that these aren't supposed to be looked at in the sense of something similar to buffet items. That's like, okay, well, ooh, I want a little bit of that. Skip that, but definitely want that. That's not how we're supposed to look at these as buffet items for us to grab according to whatever our personal appetite is. These aren't individual options. We're not supposed to look at these as individual options for you or for me to choose kind of according to my personality preference or the things that I have time for. The way we're going to be discussing these is more in the sense of like they're interlocking parts of one another. Each value mobilizes the other four, and each value finds parts of its expression in all of the other values. So I hope that makes sense, that these aren't just like obligations to fulfill or habits to instill into your life in 2024. That's not the question that we're addressing. What habits do I introduce into my life in 2024 to produce kingdom fruit? What disciplines do I add to my life to make things better in 2024. The question that we're engaging is, what is the lifestyle? What does the lifestyle of producing kingdom fruit look like? That's the lens that we're talking about these things through. As you read scripture and you observe through time, there you will see people, as you read scripture and as you observe through time, what you will see is people and communities that produce kingdom fruit live out some expression of all of these five things. They as individuals or as communities, express personal devotion. They participate in making disciples, what we call life group, corporate gatherings, living life on mission. So this morning, what we're talking about is the first one, personal devotion. Personal devotion, the lifestyle of personal devotion that produces kingdom fruit. So go ahead and stand with me for the reading of the word of God. We're going to be in John chapter 15, starting in verse 1. Jesus is speaking here in John 15. He says, I am the vine, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Are you seeing the fruit theme? Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. So thankful when Jesus makes things clear like that. It's like painting this picture and it's beautiful. He said, by the way, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Locked in. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. There goes comforting Jesus again, like last week. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Did you say yes, please? I love that. Amen. I'm with you on that one. Hey, so that's the heart of this whole kingdom fruit thing, right? It's intense. If you don't bear fruit, cut off, thrown into the fire. You know, last week, God's going to take the kingdom away from those not producing his fruit and give it to those who do. It's kind of heavy, kind of intense. But again, it's true, and therefore it's freeing. And freeing is great. And Jesus' heart in all of this truth and in all of this painting clearly of what is actually reality is for the purpose that his joy would be in us and our joy would be full. That is encouraging, okay? So kingdom fruit is a life full of God's joy and your joy being full, even if it tastes a little bit bitter here on the front end. Verse 11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command you. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for your presence and your speaking to us. And we take you at your word right now and we ask. You said to ask for whatever we wish and it will be done for us. We ask that your joy would be in us this morning and that our joy would be full. We would be satisfied in your name and by your presence and through your word. Yeah, yes, please. Yes, please. Everybody who had a little bit of faith said, yes, please. Amen. Go ahead and take a seat. What comes to mind when you hear personal devotion? Personal devotion. What kind of stuff comes to mind when you hear personal devotion? You think about reading the Bible, praying, some quiet, dark room, coffee shop, first cup of coffee in the morning, early. What kind of things do you think about when you think of personal devotion? Who do you think about when you hear the words personal devotion? Who do you think about? You think about monks or pastors, somebody in your life group who you always hear talking about like they're right next to Jesus. Think about your wife. I don't know. Hopefully you think about you. You think about you when you think of or when you hear personal devotion. What do you think about? Who do you think about when you hear personal devotion? Well, what Jesus thinks about is a branch that is connected to a vine and is tended to by a capable vine dresser, and it bears a lot of fruit. That's what Jesus is thinking about. And who does Jesus think about as we are getting into this morning? Who is Jesus thinking about when he's talking about what we capture in the words personal devotion? Well, Jesus is thinking about you, and he's thinking about him. Who Jesus is thinking about is you and God. You and God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in friendship. I remember growing up, we'd be getting ready for school in the morning, and my dad would always go downstairs to pray. That was the phrase. That was what he was doing. When it's time to go, where's dad? He's downstairs praying. He did that down in the basement. That's what we knew. Sometimes we'd even get up early enough to see him sneak through the kitchen while we were grabbing our cereal before he got downstairs to pray. He'd be downstairs to pray. I knew that my mom prayed, and she was a part of all these Bible studies with all these other women who prayed and did Bible studies together, and they were all really nice. I was given a few different types of devotional studies growing up, you know, devotional books in my growing up years, and at different times I sort of got into reading the Bible, not with much direction or anything like that, but, you know, just picking it up and reading it, seeing how long that lasted. And I don't recall how much I thought about or really tried praying growing up. I mean, I did, but that doesn't really jog my memory too much. There were a few different times growing up where my parents were really trying to help me develop something like a quiet time, you know, give me a devotional book, encourage/force me maybe sometimes to, okay, read this in the Bible and then like write out a prayer in this notebook, you know, like just trying to help train me, that sort of thing. I grew up in church in a Christian school, had great parents that loved God, and they were pursuing a growing relationship with God. And so I spent a lot of time around Christians growing up. And I was a Christian. I gave my life to the Lord really young. I believe that that was genuine. The belief that I had in God, it was genuine. But as far as really practicing my faith in like a personal way, like personal devotion to Jesus, specifically thinking about reading my Bible, praying, you know, thinking about those things, those were things that I sort of subconsciously had determined was the adult thing to do. Nobody told me that. I just kind of, through observation, realized that, okay, I think what was in my head was great. I'm a Christian. I'm around all these Christians, and that's a good start. That's good. I'm a Christian, but I'm also just a kid. And someday I'll be an adult. And as an adult who is also a Christian, at that time, I will naturally do adult Christian things, like pray and read my Bible. I will cross the threshold sometime of being a kid Christian to an adult Christian. And then it'll just happen. You know, all of the adult Christian things. And isn't that just how adulting it, you know, like you just grow up and all of a sudden you have a job and the bills get paid, right? That was my perception of being an adult as a child. It would just happen, you know? Towards the end of my freshman year in college, it happened. It happened, but it was different than I expected it to happen. It was a lot more real than I was anticipating, and it was a little bit more abrupt and slightly more aggressive than I think I had anticipated, because the reason it happened is because I finally got to the point where I wanted it to happen. I needed it to happen. I started to realize for myself, like for real, that Jesus was right. I did not have life apart from him. I had a life, but I was dead. He was right. I had no life apart from him. I was apart from him, you know, in lifestyle, for sure. And I was definitely not producing any fruit. I was living and things were fine, but there was no kingdom fruit. That's for darn sure. So I didn't just turn a certain age and or hit a certain life stage and then become an adult, and therefore I just started reading my Bible and praying. I had to actually come to the end of myself. I needed God. When we talk about personal devotion, what I want you to think about is relationship. That's what Jesus wants you to think about when you think about a lifestyle of personal devotion. You need to think about relationship. And who you should think about is not somebody else who does it better than you and knows how to pray like you know you should pray, but you're just trying, you know. What you should think about is relationship, and who you should think about is you and Jesus. Let us narrow it down in here. What are we talking about when we talk about personal devotion? We are talking about your relationship with Jesus. If you want to produce kingdom fruit this year, you need to live a lifestyle of personal devotion. You need to be in relationship with Jesus. You, Jesus, relationship. That's what we got to have. So, the question naturally follows, are you in relationship with Jesus? Yes. Right? How do we answer that question? That sounds like an important question. How do we confidently answer that question? I think it's yes. I want it to be yes. In John 15, Jesus describes abiding in him like a branch abides in a vine. Okay, so the life of the vine is flowing into the branch, and the branch bears the fruit of the vine. There is this interconnectedness that Jesus is describing as the picture of what relationship with him looks like. There's a union with him. There's a oneness. I mean, think about that. Think about a branch and a vine. They're indistinguishable in so many ways. Verse 5 in John chapter 15, Jesus says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. Because that's what happens when branches are attached to vines. That's just how it goes. And then he makes kind of the obvious statement. If we're going to talk about branches and vines, and I'm the vine, and you're the branch, apart from me, you can't do anything. This picture that Jesus paints helps you accurately answer the question, am I in relationship with Jesus? You don't need to just answer this, and we don't answer this question based on just what you think. This is great. It explains what the evidence of relationship looks like. So when you are engaging this first question, am I in relationship with Jesus? It's like, sure, I feel like it. No, what does the evidence show? That's you can answer confidently as you look at the evidence. Do you remain in him, and does he remain in you? Do you see the fruit of the vine, the fruit of Jesus in your life? If you want kingdom fruit, do you see the king's fruit in your life? Are you being pruned and cultivated by the hand of the Father? And then does that result in more fruit coming out of your life? Do you experience these things? Do you see the evidence of a fruit that comes from a vine? Do you see evidence of the hand of a gardener getting all up in your world and producing his fruit? The Father is the gardener. He is the vine dresser. He is present. God the Father is near. His hands are in the life of the disciple. His hands are in the life of the disciple, cultivating the fruit of his own kingdom, pruning back the things that even do bear his fruit, that they would bear more fruit. Cutting away the things that do not bear fruit to make room for the things that do bear fruit. He is involved with the parts of your life that are bearing fruit. And it's through his encouragement, his care, his wisdom that then produces more fruit. God's hand is in your world in the areas that aren't bearing fruit. A little bit of a paradigm shift. He even gets up in that business. He gets in there. That's why you know it's not working. He provides discomfort. He provides conviction. He helps you not enjoy it so much, to prod you along his way and bring you into the process of cutting that thing off so that he can produce his kingdom fruit in your life. And then he throws those areas into the fire and burns them. Praise God. Is there evidence of you abiding in Jesus? Is there some stuff in the ash pile over there that you used to be really connected to? That fire sure hurt when it was burning, but now it's really encouraging, really life-giving. It's evidence of your relationship with Jesus. The picture that Jesus is painting helps us have eyes to see and minds to understand this question: am I in relationship with Jesus? That's what Jesus does with parables and allegories and illustrations. He's painting these portraits. It's amazing. That being said, he doesn't just paint portraits and allegories and poems and stuff. He says things very bluntly. So he's got everybody covered. Do you like the poetry and the portraits? You got them. If you're like, this thing's hard, man, just shoot me straight. Verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command you. What a beautiful picture. Can't you just see it? And the life flowing. He's like, no, okay, let's get straight. I know Andrew's going to read this one day. You're my friend. You're my friends if you do what I command you. How do you know if you are walking in, abiding in, living in personal relationship with Jesus? How do you know if you are a friend of Jesus? We've talked about the picture. Is there fruit? Is there ash piles? Okay, do you do what he says to do? Do you do what he commands? You know you are personally devoted to Jesus. You know you are in friendship with Jesus if you do what he says to do. Awesome. Super comforting, but also not. It's comforting because that's pretty clear. It gives me confidence to look at my life. Say, oh, wow, all I got to do is see where I'm doing what God tells me to do, and then I can be confidently answered. Yes, I'm in relationship with Jesus. Like, oh, shoot, that means I got to look at my life and see if I'm doing what Jesus says I should do. Are you in a relationship with Jesus? Well, do you do what he commands? Okay, that's helpful, but it kind of creates the next question. Do you know what he commands? Do you know what he commands you to do? Do you know what Jesus's commands are? Do you know what the word of God is? Do you know how to hear the voice of God so that you can hear his commands and then do what he says? To have relationship with Jesus is to obey his commands. To obey his commands, you have to know his commands. And to know his commands, you have to hear him speak to you. You have to know his voice. Personal devotion looks like something. It looks like a lifestyle of drawing near to God. Like as close as a branch would draw near to a vine. It looks like something, a lifestyle of drawing near to God, hearing his voice over all the other noises, receiving his nourishment over all the other things that can flow into you. Think branch, vine, clear, whichever one you want. Okay, it looks like something, drawing near to God, hearing his voice over all the other voices, and then obeying his leadership. That's what personal devotion looks like. John chapter 10, Jesus is speaking again, and he says that he is our shepherd and we are his sheep. He speaks to us and we know his voice. Somebody in relationship with Jesus knows the voice of Jesus because he is the shepherd and we are the sheep, and he wants to give us commands like a shepherd gives commands to a sheep so that he can create life in us and fruit can flow from us and his joy can be in us and our joy can be full. Kingdom fruit begins with listening. It begins with listening. Mark chapter 4, Jesus is giving another parable, and he talks about how he gives this picture of God speaking, and when he speaks his word into our life, it's like a seed that gets sown. When God speaks to you and you hear his voice, he's like that gardener who's sowing the seed of the kingdom, is what Jesus calls it in Mark chapter 4. The seed of the kingdom is the word of God, the voice of God, the instructions of Jesus. It's the seed of his very kingdom, and he's throwing it into your heart. He's sowing it generously into your heart, and then the soft heart is like good soil that receives that seed. The soft heart receives that word of the kingdom, and then that word, like a seed, abides in the heart, like a seed abides in good soil. And as it abides in that good soil, it begins to grow and sprout. It takes root and comes up. And then that word of the kingdom, as it abides in you, as you hear Jesus sow it into you and you hold it and his word abides in you, John 15, it begins to transform you by the renewing of your mind. It begins to pierce you and divide you and correct you and perfect you. It produces faith in you as you hear the word of God. And faith without works is dead, but the seed isn't dead. It's a good seed, which means it's alive. Like the branch isn't dead. The branch is alive. God isn't dead. God is alive. And you are connected to him as the word of the kingdom abides in you, and you abide in him like a branch and a vine, and it produces the good works of faith, because that's what living faith does. And so you are spurred on by this word of the kingdom. You are spurred on by the word of Jesus Christ. You are spurred on by his commandments into good works. And then this is now the process that you see, that the seed of God produces the fruit of God for the glory of God by the grace and the power of God. And you get to keep in step with the Spirit as his word is a light unto your path and a lamp unto your feet. This is the lifestyle of personal devotion. You draw near. All that sounds like a lot, but all the branch does is just abide to the vine. All the soil does is open up and receive. And the gardener does the rest. We could talk all day about hearing the voice of God, Because that's kind of the next question, right? Well, how do I hear the voice of God? And I was struggling with this because I'm like, that's like I said, we go all day on that. So instead of getting into that right now, I'm going to point you to those resources we already have. I mean, there's libraries worth of books about hearing God. So if you're like, I want to grow in hearing God, the next few minutes aren't going to answer that question. It's going to point you to, yes, run after that thing. Yeah. Run after that itch, that want, and you will hear the voice of God. Just to get started, I preached a message all about this in October at the Start of Kingdom Conference. So October 6th on our podcast, if you want a sermon on hearing God, it's called Speak, Lord, I'm Listening. It was the Friday night of Kingdom Conference. So go check that out if you want some help on that. Last year, started in February, we did a whole series on prayer called Union, Communion, and Partnership. Sounds like a branch to me. Union, communion, and partnership. Why don't you go listen to that to hear more about how do I learn from Jesus how to pray. And then on the Church Center app that we have, you've heard Sam talk about this. We've done different announcements on this a few different times. I think there's a slide that'll show you how to do this. So there's a whole video resource tab in there. See there's red arrows and red circles? Do those. If you don't know what the Church Center app is, go to the Connect area right after service so that you can get to this part. The red arrow won't be there in real life. That's to help you now. Just for if you get there and you're like, where's the arrow? So you'll click more and then you'll go to video resources and you'll see this thing, spending time with Jesus. Sam is regularly uploading different videos, just tons of resources for, hey, here's some tools you can use and how to spend time with Jesus in the morning. That's a great place to start. The next thing would be ask the friends and life group who do it, and let's learn together. Okay, so if you need actual practical stuff, that's what you're going to go look at. Because, you know, I wanted to spend time on that, but the reality is, and I think what I was even hitting on last week and what the heart of this time this morning in our time gathered is really all about is that there are resources for days when it comes to how to spend time with Jesus, how to read your Bible, how to pray, how to do all of these things. And we can talk about all of those how-tos until Jesus comes back. And we will talk about those and we will spur each other on with those until we die or until Jesus comes back. But the step before that isn't learning how to do it. It's deciding you want to do it. You're not going to start spending time with Jesus. You're not going to start reading your Bible, connecting with God in prayer. You're not going to start learning the voice of Jesus if someone would just tell you one more thing about how to do it. It starts with that decision. Kingdom fruit, like we talked about last week, before we get into the how-to, and really the how-tos are dead without the want-to. And when the want-to is there, any of the how-tos will work. And different how-tos will work at different times, and praise the Lord, and this is great. I got resources for days in different seasons of life and all of this sort of thing, but the common denominator is I want Jesus. That's what I was talking about when I got to that end of my freshman year. I was like, oh, shoot. I've learned everything I need to learn. I can't do this. Now I need to learn everything I don't know. I can't do this. You have to want to. This lifestyle of personal devotion, it is awesome. It is available. It is doable. And it is also difficult. If you have ever tried this, you will find that it is difficult. It is a consistent fight to live a lifestyle of personal devotion to Jesus. Because there are so many thousands of other things in your life vying, not just for your attention, but vying for your devotion. This is the battlefield of the Christian life because your devotion is spiritual. Even more than just your attention or your desire, when you get down to it, what is it that I want? That is a spiritual battle. In Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis said this about the difficulty of the Christian life. He was talking about what is the problem of the Christian life that we face? He says the problem, it comes the very moment you wake up each morning. All your wishes and hopes for the day rush at you like wild animals. And the first job each morning consists simply in shoving them all back, in listening to that other voice, taking that other point of view, letting that other larger, stronger, quieter life come flowing in, and so on all day. Standing back from all your natural fussings and frettings, coming in out of the wind. You will need different rhythms in your life as life stages come and go. You will need different disciplines and practices as your spiritual journey takes left and right turns as Jesus disciples you. And the reason is because in all of the how-tos that you can learn, none of them will grow you out of your need for Jesus. And when you realize that, all the how-tos can simply be tools that help you when you need them. And so they can come and they can go and they can change in different seasons. But like, the system is rigged. You're going to start reading the Bible in a new way and you're going to connect with God and it's going to change your life. And then one day you're going to realize, I'm not connecting with God this way like I used to. God didn't change. God's not far off. He's just keeping you close. You're going to start to pray and it's going to change your life and you're going to connect with God. And then one day they're not going to connect with them in prayer like you used to in that way. It's not because your heart grew cold. It's not because there's some great sin in your life. It's because the man Jesus wants to do this today. And he is the life. That rhythm's not the life. It's just the tool for helping me abide and keep in step with him. As we wrap up this morning, I talked too long. So we'll still have our prayer team come up after this, but I just want to share one last thought with you that's been stirring me recently. So this is just kind of, you know, take it or leave it, but I'm loving it. I've been thinking this recently, specifically as I've been participating in the Friday morning, early morning prayer times. You know, this morning we're talking about personal devotion. And if we want to live a lifestyle of kingdom fruit, it starts. We've got to be personally devoted to Jesus. You have to be in relationship with Jesus. We're talking about your alone time with God. We're talking about the secret place, where it's just you and him. But something I've been getting stirred up and motivated and envisioned and filled up by in a new way recently is thinking about how this personal devotion thing is also something that we do together as disciples of Jesus. I've been thinking recently about, it's been exposing in me bad beliefs. What I mean is, like, you know, when the alarm goes off, and you don't want to get up, and all the wild animals are coming at you, and all that sort of thing. The alarm goes off, it's early, you know, you're tired, you're distracted, just having a hard time getting going, all of those different things. Just been thinking about, like, oh man, like, who else's alarm is going off right now? Like, oh my gosh, like, I am all alone and I have to make my decision right here, right now to go into, get out of this warm, cozy bed and go over there into that other room. You know, like, I've got to do that, but who else is doing it with me? Who else, where else is somebody who's all alone getting out of their bed to go into their room? Which, that's cool, but that's still their bed and their room. We don't share that part, right? But it's the same King inviting all of us in towards the same throne of grace. It's the same Father who sees in secret. It's still my secret place, but he also sees in your secret place. It's the same Spirit who's teaching me how to pray in that moment when I don't know how to pray as the Spirit who's teaching you how to pray in that moment when you don't know how to pray. We get to abide in the same vine together, all alone. Think about this. Who else is waking up to pray? Who else is waking up to read the living word of God? Who else is running or stumbling with you towards the throne room to seek the face of the living God? Who else in church is humbling themselves under the mighty hand of God with you? Who else in your neighborhood is weary and heavy laden but coming to Jesus? Who else in this state, who else in this country is with you trying to just take on the same easy yoke of Jesus? What other believer in a cave somewhere is also meditating on the scripture you're meditating on right now? What persecuted brother or sister is getting the same comfort from the same voice of the same God at the same time you are? What saint, what father, what grandmother is waking up to praise God with you this morning? In what other building, in what other home, in what other place is there another Christian born again by the grace of God seeking with you the face of God? When you abide in Jesus and he abides in you, it's you who bears much fruit. And when we abide in Jesus and he abides in us, we bear much fruit. Because when all of God's people abide in him, and he abides in all of his people, he produces his kingdom fruit to his glory, for his name, by his grace, in his power. Praise the Lord. Let's all be personally devoted to Jesus. I want you to stand, and I want to pray for you as we end our time at church this morning. When I dismiss you in a second, some of our prayer team will come up. If you need prayer at church this morning, you can still get it, even though the keys aren't playing. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your beautiful living word. Draw us near to you. Keep us near to you. Help us spur one another on. Have our hearts and our minds and our souls and our bodies and our energy and our schedules and our beliefs and all of these things, Lord, bring us near to you this year like a branch and a vine, and produce your kingdom fruit in me and in each one of my brothers and sisters and in us as your church. We want to be those people that you give the kingdom to, and who produce your kingdom fruit. Fill us, Holy Spirit. Send us out in your grace and your power into every place that we're going this week, every workplace, neighborhood, friendship, family, home, whatever, and produce your kingdom in and through us for those around us to your great glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So glad you're here at church this morning. Like I said, we'll have some of our prayer team up here. If you are new with us this morning, or if you need to start a relationship with Jesus, come by the connect area on your way out. If you want to be discipled or make disciples, go to the connect area on your way out. If you're picking up a child right now, tell the disciple maker thank you. They may have jumped in at the last minute this morning, and that's awesome. Love all of you. Have an incredible week in the grace of God.